Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Nun, the 50th Perek of Sefer Yirmiyahu. And we are really moving in towards the very end. Yirmiyahu is only 52 prakim left, so this is the third last chapter. And this Perek shifts Yirmiyahu's focus. This is a prophecy to Bavel themselves. Up till now we've been seeing Bavel as, in a certain sense, the instrument of Hashem. They're being the one to exact judgment, and really the guilty parties have been Israel and the surrounding nations. But at this point in time, finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the words of Yirmiyahu, finally actually turns to them, the Babylonians themselves. And here's what he has to say. It's a rather long perek, and it's divided into a few naturally divided sections. The first part of this nevuah deals with the end of Bavel, Bavel's ultimate demise, and Israel wandering free. So Yirmiyahu starts off, the first section runs from Aleph to Tes Zion, the first 16 psukim, in which he says, Hagidu vagoyim vashmi'u usu'u neis. He says, tell among the nations, let it be known and hold up this banner, that what? Im amru nilkado bovel hovish ba'abal chet morodach hovishu atzabeho chatu giluleho. Let's go and conquer Bavel. Let's dry up and cut down its gods, Moradach, which is one of their gods. All their gods are going to be cut down. And he goes on to describe that in those days, there's going to Bnei Yisrael, when a nation, this ominous nation from the north, comes and attacks Bavel, that's when the Jews, then Yavo Bnei Yisrael, Hema Bnei Yehuda Yachtov, Israel and Yehuda. That refers to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the ten lost tribes and the southern kingdom in two different stages of Golos. They'll come together, Haloich Uvachoi Yelechu. They're going to be crying, they'll be going together, and they'll search out God, they'll search out Zion to return to Yerushalayim. Because up till now they've been the food, the fodder and food of all the other nations who've taken advantage of them. And he goes on to describe that I'm going to hinei anochime ir umale al bavel kahal goyim gedolim eretz tofar. I'm going to bring a whole swath of nations against Bavel from the north, and they're going to destroy it. They're going to all the custom. The Chaldeans are going to be bespoiled by these nations. You're going to be embarrassed the day you are born, because it's going to be that. Why? Miketzef Hashem loy teishev. You're not going to be get any rest or serenity from the anger of Hashem. That's what's going to happen. And therefore, everybody's going to be fighting, turning their bows towards you. Kasher ostah, as you did, asila, will be done to her. This is the description of the destruction of Bavel. A few things to think about in this first section, and that is that Abarbanel points out that the audience of this prophecy is Hagidu Vagoyim. It is the nations are hearing this prophecy. It's not to Israel, and it's not to Bavel particularly. It's to all the nations. And that's because, as we have seen throughout the Sefer of Yirmiyahu, that when Babylon arises as an empire, they kill many people, and they destroy many people. And therefore, it is natural that the people who are the victims, who are going to be hearing about this, who are going to be summoned to destroy Bavel, are not going to be just Israel. It's going to be many, many people. And when is this actually occurring? So the Radak points out that this is going to be when the Persia is going to, and Media in the north, that's the northern kingdoms, are going to take control. Media is going to defect from Bavel and join with Persia, and they're going to take over one of the most powerful and fast-spreading empires the world has ever known, when Persia ultimately takes over. It is interesting to notice that the Persian foreign policy was very different to Babylon. Babylon was a fast rising and a fast demising empire. Came up brutally fast, destroyed, killed, pillaged, and burnt down, and went down very fast as well. And Persia was a much slower, much more laissez-faire in terms of foreign policy. They allowed the inhabitants to resettle in their natural habitats, and they were taxed under Persia, 127 states by the time Esther was around. It's a much more different foreign policy. Now, in and amongst this, the next section from Yud Zayin to Chof, where Yirmiyahu now focuses on the pitiful nature of Israel and the mercy Hashem will have on him. And this is such a refreshing moment to hear from Yirmiyahu's lips. Yisrael ayrayasi hidichu. You are the straying lost lamb, Israel. These lions have attacked you. Harishon achaloi melech Ashur v'ze'achron itzmu nevuchadnezzar melech Babel. You are hurt and wounded by the Assyrians, and now this loss on Nebuchadnezzar. And therefore Hashem says, you know what? I'm gonna bring you back. I'm going to take care of the Babylonians. I'm going to return you to the areas that you should have been in, the Carmel, the Bashan, the Har Ephraim, the Gilad. You're going to get back there. And Ba'ayamim Ahem, famous Pasuk, Ba'ayisahi, at that time, Ne'um Hashem says, God, Yivukash Esavon Yisrael Ve'enenu. I'm going to search out the sin of Israel, and it won't be. And the sin of Yehuda, that's the north and the south. Yisrael is the north, Yehuda is the south. And it won't be. Ke'eslach La'asher Ashir. I will forgive those who remain. Very powerful. When is this happening? How is this happening? Barbanel points out this is the end of the Golus, but it doesn't seem to be as a function of Teshuvah. It doesn't sound like there's been a spiritual reform necessarily. Rather, it is as a function of the fact that the Shemitah cycle has been repaid. All the Shemitah years they did not keep are now fulfilled in the year, which in a certain sense could be metaphoric to the idea that they have paid their debt. The repayment of the debt of suffering has been made, and now they can return even without necessarily deserving it, per se. And the Malbim says that maybe this is actually not referring to a time that we've witnessed. Maybe this refers to the ultimate Gula, when we reach that time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring back not just the southern kingdom, but the 10 lost tribes as well, and it really finally does come back together. The last sections of the parak now really focus again on the destruction of Bavel, and we hear lots of different descriptions in these sections. Like for instance, from Chof Aleph to Lamed Beis, the next section is sort of a call to the rest of the nations to attack and destroy Bavel. Yokashti lecha v'gam nilkodah Bavel, you're going to be hit and you're going to be destroyed. V'ad lo yadat nimtzeis v'gam nichpast b'ki b'Hashem hiskarius. The reason this is happening is because you fought against God. That's what Yirmiyahu says. And you'll talk about the refugee crisis they're going to have. Everybody's going to be running from them. And when they run from them, they're going to come back to Yerushalayim to say that Hashem took Nikmas Hashem Elokeinu Nikmas Eicholai, because it was the revenge for the destruction of the Jewish temple, from the temple of the Jews. That's what's going to happen. And Shalmu lo kefa'a lo kechol asher asta asu lo. Again, we hear this idea, like they did to others, will be done upon themselves. Ki el Hashem zodah el kadosh Yisrael, because they went against the Holy One of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Barbanel points out that in this prophecy, Hashem is emphasizing that this is not simply an exercise in geopolitics. This is when you hear these messages, when people come to Tzion, to Zion, to say this, and you hear these voices, you will know that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. This is a spiritual mechanism in the world. It's not simply a geopolitical message which is being heard. And I think we hear that in our times. We've been fortunate in the last 70 plus years to witness times where we really do hear people saying those things. And sometimes we tune them out not to hear them, but to realize that these are spiritual mechanisms occurring, not simply the run-of-the-mill political machinations of the world. And finally, the last section of the parak, which runs from Lamed Gimel all the way to Mem Vav, which is the end, he talks about the end of Bavel, how the Jews were so oppressed under them, never allowed to me'anu l'shalchom, were not allowed taken away. And then Hashem says, well, I'm going to send you the sword against you, Babylonians. There's going to be the sword sent against you. There's going to be a sword against those who are alone. There's going to be a sword against their horses and chariots. The people, the women, the men, the children, everybody, the wells are going to dry up, which is chorev, which is a play on the word for cherev. That's the dryness for the wells. It's all going to affect you. It's going to be so bad, it'll be like ma'apechas elokim es Sodom v'Amorah. It's going to be the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. And if you look in that area, in the region of Syria, which is where Bavel was in those days, it really, and unfortunately for the most part today, still is, you know, is still not a fertile area, is not a place with great natural resources necessarily besides for oil. And he carries on talking about this nation which is going to come from the north. And finally, closing up this parak, he very, very starkly and just says basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my advice or my prediction is that the Tzirei Ason, the youngest of the sheep, which is referring to Persia, the youngest of Yefes, is going to finally take over and destroy you. Mikol nachbasa bavel nirasha aretz. The pain and the za'akah that you're going to be expressing is going to shake and the world because of the sheer amount of suffering. Just as an interesting Gomorrah insight at this point, the Gomorrah says, that the sword will be against those who are alone. The Gomorrah says that that means to say aloneness is a terrible curse in many ways, and it refers even when in positive things, like when we, the Gemara Bracha says, when we're on Dach Samach Gimel on Beis, when we're even when we learn by ourselves and we don't have, we don't entrench ourselves among others and in a chevra, then we learn, we lose something. We sometimes educate our own mistakes. That's the messer, the message that the Gemara takes from this. But what's being said over here by Bavel is you're going to die alone. You're not going to have any support groups. Now the nations will come back to you because of what you did to them. One last thing just to point out, and that is the voice of Yirmiyahu is so different here. It's passionate, it's compassionate to Israel. It sees them as this lost sheep and lamb among the nations, and Bavel is now cited as the enemy. It's interesting because up till now, we have to think to ourselves, Bavel has been called, or Nebuchadnezzar has been called Nebuchadnezzar Avdi, the servant of God. And here you see the struggle that we've all had throughout Jewish history. The Ramban deals with this, the Riva deals with this. When it comes to Pharaoh, after all, the Egyptians, or there was a nation which was predicted to subjugate the nation of Israel. They did their job, but they were still punished for it. The Egyptians were punished severely. Here the Babylonians are doing the calling of God, but at the same time they're punished severely. And there's many different answers given as to how it can be. One of them is that the reason why Bavel was attacking Israel was not on a biblical mandate. It wasn't because they felt deep in their kishkas that Israel needed to be punished. They were doing what they wanted, which was their imperialistic design. They wanted to control the Middle East. They wanted to exact taxes. They wanted to kill. And that was what they were punished for, not what they achieved. What they achieved was God's plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these nations have done a whole lot of bad things and they need to be addressed. But ultimately, they're punished for what they wanted to do, although what actually happened was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's design. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.